Is it true that we're sick? Is that true? Well, people have the same prediction of Apache. We'll know something maybe in a month. In a month.
So,
we don't know.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everyone, this morning. And we do want to just take a moment and recognize any visitors and introduce some visitors. Can we do that?
We'll do that later.
Oh, okay. We'll do that later. We have visitors this morning. And do we have any... any first-time visitors this morning? Anyone who's here? Good to see the Leonards back this morning. Good to have y'all back. We're going to let y'all share some good news with us, too, in just a minute. Right now, let's just go ahead and find out if anyone has any announcements that they need to make. Becky, we'll start with you.
Good morning. This is a three-part announcement. He's floating up there. I don't even know why I bought him a plane ticket. The third part of this announcement is a begging. We are begging for some help. We put an addition on our house, two bedrooms, a utility room, and a porch. They're not finished. In the process of Bob working on it before we left, he had injured his we've discovered now that he snapped off a muscle up here and it's rolled down to his elbow. On Tuesday, he goes to the orthopedic and suspect that by the end of the week he'll be in surgery. We need some help. We're begging for some help to get the drywall, tape, and get their bedroom and the bathroom finished. All the plumbing's done, all the wiring's done. We just need to finish the finish work. If anyone can be of any help, please see us after church. Give us a call. We'll be working evenings, during the day when you can, and on weekends. We are asking for some help to get this done so they have a place to live. We know many of you have certain parts. This is time to give our help.
Well, God bless you, Becky, and your ministry and all that y'all do. And y'all pray about what you can do in the next 3 weeks to help the Leonards prepare for the coming of this family and continue to pray for them. Any other announcements? Are there any other announcements? Do you have any?
Well, covering the bulletin, the session will be tonight. Committees, you might need to check with your chairperson of your committee. Chris Education, I know, will meet. The building and grounds will meet. And outreach, I assume, will meet. Who's chairperson there? I forget.
Sonia.
And then evangelism. Vicki is not here, so you need to call him. We want you to show up and not be obedient.
The blood drive. I know the Red Cross is taking the blood.
Is that the Methodist Church? Yeah, just go ahead and make sure and read in your bulletin for any additional announcements. They should all be in there. Now we would like to open for, we have already received a praise request, or a praise announcement through the Leonards, and that's truly a blessing. It's persistence and continued prayer is going to bring that family here. So thank you for sharing that with us. Are there any other praise requests or any prayer requests that need to be added this morning? Yes, Mike?
We serve an awesome God, and He can do anything. Mm-hmm. He will do what is necessary and what is according to His will if we ask Him. I ask that you pray for this little girl right here. She's got a disc problem in her back, even though she gets up and can't walk straight. God can take care of that.
Y'all remember Amy in your prayers. Anyone else?
People in Pensacola. I left Pensacola Friday. They heard it. But please remember them because it looks like it's going to be bad.
So in a praise also that Sam and them have just returned from a mission trip as well in Pensacola and for his mission work as well. So there's a lot going on in the church. Y'all be thankful for all that is happening. If you do have an additional praise request, you can just put it on an index card and drop it in the offering plate when it comes around. We're going to pause for a moment of silent prayer. Please bow your head. Amen. I tell it now, the word is Jesus. His saving love, his joy and peace. I'll share, I'll go till millions know the word of Jesus. He loves us so.
Let's all stand, turning their hymnals to hymn 508. I will sing the wonder story. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Lord, we know the Word. The Word is Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Lord, help us to sing it and talk it, and in whatever means are available, to share, to pass on the Word of Jesus. And salvation through Him. A new way of living under His guidance and leadership. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And we come now praying that prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 64, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Mm-hmm. 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for my Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou art so masterful and bright, that giveth man both warmth and light. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We express our faith in God through our Apostles' Creed. You can find that on page 716 in your hymnal or up above. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
Turning your hymnals will, if you now will. Now, if you will, please, I'll spit it out and you can read it. Hymn 502, we are learning. Did you mention something about the insert?
We will not use it.
We're not? Okay.
Is that right?
That is correct. The insert is a song that Wendy Skinner, our guest for today, requested that we do. And since none of us knew it, and I just found out about it yesterday, we're not going to do it. But look over that. It's It's her song, she says. That's some of the things that's happened in her life. That song speaks to her. So look over that.
Everybody may not have one.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it was a bulletin insert. Forget I said that.
That did not get inserted.
Okay. Well, that was all mute, wasn't it? Okay. 502. That's in our hymnal. Play through that for us, please, ma'am. Also, when I got home and checked my email for Sunday service today, it said Sam's singing. Okay, so I'm going to sing now. And this song is an old song, and it's about God's touch. And get all our electronics straight here and be in good shape. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity goes. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened.
And now I know He touched me and made me whole. Something really happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Time. Children, please come forward. I think Andrea will meet you up front. I'm sure she has something wonderful for you this morning.
Thank you.
We express our thanks to God through our offertory giving. Our offertory sentence today comes from Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Will our ushers please come forward?
We have a guest speaker this morning, but we kind of barely know each other. We met last week before last for about, I think she said, 2 seconds. And then, but Sam has worked with Wendy, and I'm going to let him introduce her. So welcome, Sam, and welcome, Wendy, and welcome, Mike.
Okay. Sam has not worked with Wendy yet, and she's a slave driver. So I don't know how that's going to work out. No, we're going to do great work for the Lord. She's doing a great work for the Lord. Wendy Skinner's going to come and speak, and her friend, her chauffeur, is Mike Ward, and they're from the New Hope Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, outside Birmingham, Alabama. And many of you have met, and Lynn Thomas has been here a few times, and his office is at the New Hope Church. He doesn't attend church there, but his office is there. They're furnishing him office space. So that kind of puts it a little bit in perspective. But I sent out an email when Nancy and I came back from our little Texas, Mississippi, Mexico kind of scouting trip for some mission work. And I sent out an email to all the people on my email list that said, there's mission work everywhere. So I get an email back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. And this lady is the chairman of the Denominational Board of Missions, and she said, you need to talk to Wendy Skinner. So I emailed her back and got the phone numbers, and I said, yeah, okay. So I called in Birmingham at the New Hope Church. There's a man there going to Columbia with me in September, Ollie McClung. And he doesn't have email, so I have to call him on the phone and tell him all the information about Columbia trip. And he said, you need to talk to Wendy Skinner. I said, well, you know, man, I need to talk to Wendy Skinner. So Wendy and I had met at the missions conference year before last, and I already knew that she was doing a great work. But she's got a new thing that the Lord's put on her, and you're going to hear about it, and it's going to be great. And yes, I'll be going to Guatemala soon. Okay, Wendy Skinner.
I told the first service, and I'll tell you guys, I am always surprised that after pastors or people in churches meet me that they actually let me have the microphone. And I'm doubly surprised when they give it back to me for a second service and not understanding how crazy this church is to let me do that. But thank you, Pastor Gwen. I have a scripture for today. Before I get started, I'm not a preacher. I didn't go through seminary. All my knowledge is from experience, and I'm hard-headed, so I get a lot of it. But wanted to share with you something that has really just kind of driven me through most of my Christian walk, and it's Romans 12:3-8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has a body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, who we are many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. I told the earlier service as well. I was going to let you know a little bit about myself, and I was going to kind of let you know about my life leading up to being saved, but I figure you might want lunch or you might want supper, and you probably don't want to stay here until about 10 o'clock tonight. So let's just say that I've had a very interesting life, and I was a bad girl for a very long time, and we'll just leave it at that, and you can use your imagination. I did not get saved until I was, don't laugh at me, it must have been you, that was her. I did not get saved until I was 29 years old. I've only been a Christian for 7 years. After I got saved, it took, you know, a couple of years to beat some things out of me. I mean, I still cussed like a sailor for a couple of years, and, you know, I got beat down with lesson after lesson after lesson, and, you know, eventually it got okay. I started turning into a normal human being that you would actually invite out to lunch and be able to talk to. And I wasn't all just crazy as I used to be. And I was getting my life together. I had started a women's ministry, a couple of people, and it had gotten big. And I had made a lot of friends. And I had a nice job. And I finally got a house that I could afford and pay for. And I finally turned into that normal person I had always wanted to be. And do you know what happened? God said, okay, past that one, let's go to the next level. Got something else for you to do. Now, I don't mind God having other things for me to do, but what he asked me to do was mission work. Now, when you argue with God, anybody in here argue with God besides me? Just checking. When you argue with God, you have to have special tools to do that with. So I pulled out my special Wendy dictionary and looked up the definition for a missionary. This is what I read. You had to be born a Christian, be a Christian your whole life, go to seminary, be able to quote the Bible backwards and forwards. Then you had to marry somebody who was born a Christian, been a Christian their whole life, went to seminary. Then you went to the foreign country, had 10 kids, all of which you had at home, and homeschooled. That's correct, is it not? I did not qualify. This is God's science truth. Yeah, I really did sing missionaries like that. And I argued with God and argued with God and argued. I cried, I kicked, I screamed, I pulled, I shouted. And, you know, the funniest thing, you know, people were always telling me, you know, you ought not get mad at God. Guys, if you're mad at God and you don't tell him, he already knows it. So there's no use in hiding it. So I railed and ranted and raved and gave excuse after excuse. Never been out of four states of Alabama. Country, redneck person, you know. What am I going to do in Guatemala? I don't even speak the language. They don't speak Southern. That's the only language I know. Anyway, when God finally got through my little thick head that was where I was supposed to be, I just did it. Gave all my stuff away, bought the plane tickets. 2 months later, I was there, living there, no questions asked. Drug my 9-year-old child with me. So I am now perfectly happy. I'm getting comfortable in my new life. I have learned to speak Spanish, albeit Southern. You've not lived until you've heard como esta usted. Nobody understands me there, but I understand them. It's called Southern Spanish. You get used to the weather. You have to get used to being away from your family. You have to get used to the odd hours. I'm a nurse, and, you know, I'm up all the time and being called all the time. And there's just so many things aside from just moving away that you have to get used to. And I'm finally getting into the niche of my life. And I'm a missionary, and I'm up to the 8-month mark. And I am happy because I did not think I'd last 6. I figured I'd be back home already. And I come home for my first sabbatical to come home and speak to churches because I'm a missionary. Faithful servant of the Lord. Well, you know what happened. What? I'm done, aren't I? No. I'd been there for 8 months, came home. I was home for 3 days, sitting on my grandmother's back porch, swinging in my swing, drinking some sweet tea, because that's what we do in Alabama. Sure you do it in Tennessee. And my whole right side went numb. Just stopped working. And I looked at my dad and I said, "Bye. Think I need to go to the hospital." Off to the hospital we go. And I got diagnosed with my first, please pay attention to that one, first, brain tumor. I ended up having to stay in the United States for 6 months for treatment. And being a missionary and a somber servant of the Lord that knows my Bible, I got up every morning and I prayed to the Lord. And I said, "How dare you? I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what you think you're doing, but fight it. You're crazy. Look what I..." Okay. And I know none of you do this. I'm a martyr. "Look what I have done for you. Look what I gave up for you. I mean, I gave up a 6-figure job and nice cars and a life for you." And God went, Keep thinking that's why I are. I think I made a man, that's why he's making me work harder. I'm not sure, but that might be the case. Anyway, for 2 months, I did. I got up every morning, and I prayed every morning because I'm a missionary, and I'm supposed to. And I just railed at God and railed at God. And I was like, you know, this is just not fair. And then, anybody in here hard-headed? Okay. How many of you get a nice little lesson from God, and it's a nice little love stroke, like, you need to do this, and you ignore it? Then he throws a brick at you, and you ignore it. I'm one of those that usually takes a house or two. So after a couple of houses fell on me, God finally impressed on my heart. Whatever I need, you're going to give me. If I need you to have brain tumors to save one person, one, is it worth it? Yes, sir.
Good.
Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things for me to get. And I thought, okay, I don't know why I've got them. This is God's plan. There's got to be a reason for it. Let's go. Let's just go. And I did. After my treatments, I went back to Guatemala. Well, the Board of Missions were impressed because the great missionary went back out to the mission field after the brain tumors. Which, actually, the only reason I went back is because I really wasn't sure what else to do with my life. I don't do anything for the right reasons, but I end up doing it right eventually. And they asked me to speak at the mission conference 2 years ago about having brain tumors and then going back on the mission field, especially after I got diagnosed with the second one in Guatemala. And so I come and I speak there, and one lady heard me and liked my speaking. I don't know why I've heard me speak, and it's not that great, and asked me to speak at convention last year. Well, while I was at convention last year and spoke, I told the early service, two women listened to me because nobody else heard me. I talked to about 300 people, but two women actually listened and went back to their church. And they told their pastor, they said, oh my gosh, this girl has such a cool ministry. We like what she's doing. We want to help. And so they got together and they raised $5,000. Now, for those of you who don't know anything about missionaries, we don't get paid. We live solely on the donations of the people. And $5,000 would sustain me for 3 months. So I was perfectly happy with the $5,000. And they said, nah, we don't think it's good enough. And I'm like, I do. And they were like, well, let's see what else we can do. So they got together, they challenged the churches around them, and the next thing you know, they've got $30,000. I thought I was going to get a new car. They didn't think that. They actually want to help the children in Guatemala. I don't know why, you know, but that's what they want. It's sad. Seriously. They call me and they're like, what can we do with $30,000? And so I start talking. I talk to this man for 15 minutes. Feeding programs, helping with medicine, helping with surgery, helping with clothes, shoe drive. I mean, we go on diaper drive. I mean, anything you can think of. We talked about, and he just was not happy with any of my suggestions. And I said, look, sir, you can do anything you want to do. You know, raise $60,000, $100,000, you can build a clinic, a couple hundred thousand, you can build a hospital, you can go as far as this as you want to. And he goes, well, I think we want to build a clinic. And I said, well, okay, you just do that. Nice talking to you. God said, no. God, come on, man. You've changed my job 3 times since I've been here already. He really hasn't. It's been the same job, medical stuff, but building a clinic, you know, I asked him, we were discussing stuff, and I didn't know that the plumber had to be in before the sheetrocker, so I'm not real sure I'm the one qualified to do this. Yeah, I'm not the one qualified to do this. However, I'll tell you a funny story. Anytime God puts something in your life to do, if you will just take a step back and watch, he'll actually kind of do it for you. God's got me looking so good right now, I can't even see straight. I mean, it looks like I know how to build a building. It looks like I know how to raise money. It looks like I know how to do architectural stuff. People are just literally falling in my lap. I've got a website. If you think I did that, you, oh my gosh. Computers and cooking. you know, people just keep dropping in my life, and now I've got this cool website, and I've got these cool plans, and I've got all these people who know how to do all this stuff, and everybody's just thinking I know what I'm doing, and I'm just sitting watching God do all of it. And if you'll just let Him, He will do anything you want for Him. He's got blessings for you. He's got everything you need. Just step back, hide, and watch. You know? I tell you, the life that I have now versus the life that I had back then, if you'd ask anybody in my church, and Michael testified this 5 years ago, and if you'd have said, Wendy's going to be a missionary, that would have laughed you out of the building. If you had asked me 5 years ago if I'd ever be happy, ever, I'd have laughed you out of the building. All I've done is stand back and watch God work. Now, I do want to. I'm going to show you. Well, let me tell you how all this came about. Let me finish telling you how all this came about. The two women at the convention heard me. They've raised all this money, and all I've got to do is get it built and run it. Isn't that amazing how God works? I always kind of, you know, you always wonder what seeds you plant and what's going to come out of what and what's going to come out of what. And there are people behind me. I just now discovered that. Hey! So crazy. My brain tumors are the reason this building's being built. You know? So if you have something in your life and you don't like it, because trust me, didn't like it, doesn't mean God's not going to use it. You know? And prayer works. Because I'm telling you, brain tumors, most people don't survive those. I've decided that you can't kill roaches, so I'm never going anywhere. That's how that's going to work. I do want to show you a little bit of my life. There I am. You want to pass this stuff out while I talk? And I'll explain it to you later. I do want people to see some of my life because, and I do this mostly for my family and mothers that are here. My family, for some reason, because it's a third world country and because I'm a missionary, have this notion that I live in a mud hut with no water and don't get to bathe and, you know, whatever. And I want everybody to know that we have as normal of a life as you can have in a third world country. This is me and my daughter. We moved down there when she was 9. She is now 12. She attends an American school. It is accredited. It is expensive, but we really have no choice because if it's not accredited, then she can't graduate and come to college in the United States. But she's in the choir. They do all kinds of goofy stuff. This is her at World Day. She was Cambodia. These are things me and my daughter fight about. You know, Italy was available, America was available, and I can cook hamburgers and french fries and spaghetti, but no, she picked Cambodia. And I can't boil water, and now I've got to fix Cambodian food. And it was actually kind of funny because everybody that came by got a little cut and tasted it and threw it in the garbage. She plays the flute. She also plays basketball, soccer, and volleyball. So, I mean, she has a pretty normal life. She actually probably gets to do a few more activities than most kids do because the school's so small. Okay. Isn't that pretty? Don't you want to go on vacation there? Yeah, it's pretty, isn't it? I want y'all, that's Lake Atitlan. It is a lake dropped in the middle of three volcanoes. It's the most gorgeous place you will ever see on the face of the earth. And if you will just come down and visit me for 7 days and work 5 of them, 18 hours a day, get no sleep, and be grumpy, I will take you there for half a day for your vacation. There you go. I put this up here because that is a church. And those are not tourists. There's a service going on inside. And it's full. Those are people sitting outside waiting to hear about Jesus. How many of y'all would like to have that problem in this church? Come help me build my clinic and yours will get finished. That's the way I see. That's how I put this up here seriously because that's how hungry these people are for the word of the Lord. And I just think that's awesome. I told the first service, and I tell you, y'all have it bad. You got to go out and get these hoodlums off the street and try to get them in and straighten them out. By having this clinic, they're going to come in, they're going to be sick, they're going to be tired, and I'm going to say, baby, Jesus brought me here because he loves you, and, you know, all you got to do is just get to know him. I don't have to go get them. They're coming to me. My clinic has the capability to see 1,000 people a month. I can witness to 1,000 people a month. We're going to have a Guatemalan doctor on staff there Monday through Friday to help with the needs of the community. They will be Christian, and they will be witnessing. I'm going to kind of rotate through these. What happened when we originally decided to do this was we went to go look for land, and land was going to cost more than the actual building. So we started looking for a place that needed a clinic, and the town needed a clinic. And what we came up with was Casa Shalom. It's an orphanage. It has 80 children. These are just pictures of the children and the orphanage. We have babies. We have kids up to age about 15. All of them are orphaned, abused, or abandoned. I will tell you that I have to work with my youngest rape victim was 18 months old, and they usually sell the girls into prostitution around the age of 5, and that's mostly what these children are. There is a school there because the biggest problem we have in Guatemala is lack of education. The illiteracy rate is 73%, so actually the kids that land in the orphanage do better than most people because they actually get an education. I have an actual reason for putting this in here. You see that hill? I am a big girl, and I want everybody to feel sorry for me, so I put this picture in here because, honest to God, when I go up it, I have to get kids behind me to push me because it's like this. So when you come, bring your walking legs because it is hard to get up. All right, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the clinic because that's what I do best. This is a hospital in Guatemala. Isn't it pretty? The medical care in Guatemala is straight out of the 1940s and 1950s. National hospitals are nasty. They're just grotesque. It takes 2 years to get any kind of surgery. Cleft lip and cleft palate doesn't help them after 2 years old because they can't speak. We've had children actually lose hearing because they can't get tubes in their ears, and that's a 2-minute procedure because the hospitals are so backed up. Plus, a lot of the doctors just don't know what they're doing. And that's the reason I wanted to build this clinic, because this clinic, what is going to happen is it will have a Guatemalan doctor Monday through Friday, but we're also going to have an operating room and recovery room so that doctors from the United States can come down and work in it. We're also partnering with a couple of doctors in Guatemala who work for the Angel Network, and they do free plastic surgery and things like that, because I believe that if you're in another country, you ought to have the countrymen help you as much as possible to give them some pride and some dignity. This is one of the girls that the Angels have helped. Of course, you can see she's got cleft lip and cleft palate. And this is her after. You guys, this little girl's life is going to be forever changed because one person cared. Just one. I mean, it's not like it took 1,500 people. Just one person. Same story with this boy when he was born. They just sewed his lips together and kind of left him like that. And the Angels went so far as to fix his cleft lip and cleft palate, but they also tattooed him some lips on so that he would look normal. You know? I didn't get the before picture of this baby, but the after was so cute. That's why I stuck it in here. Because he's just precious. Just precious. I love kids. Love kids. Hated him before I moved to Guatemala. Really, honest to God, never wanted to work with him. And now I'm like, I want 10. My pastor keeps telling me I have to get married first. I don't understand that. But this lady, and this is how sick things are, her husband set her house on fire to try to kill her. As you can see, her skin melted together, and she couldn't move her arm. They fixed it. They also went so far as to tattoo eyebrows on her head and give her a little hair piece so that she wouldn't look so bad. One of the other big problems we face is there's a lot of villages. You drive 2 hours to get to it, and you hike 2 hours to go. And these people don't have any medical care whatsoever. And so this little boy was in one of those villages, got burned, had no medical care. The Angels found him, brought him down, and debrided all that and fixed it. It's still not pretty. They're actually going to try to do another reparative surgery. But as you can see, he's not going to die from infection on this one. This is just the clinic land. We are on a dirt road, but there are a lot of people that live there. And I'm telling you, if you put a clinic up, the people will come. If you say an American doctor is there, 250 people will show up. It's that simple. That's just the land again. This is the original design of the clinic. It's changed several times. Anybody that wants to see the actual building can talk to Sam, but we have everything that we need. We've got an OR and a recovery room, an emergency room, an exam room, a doctor's lounge, an x-ray room, ultrasound. And y'all, I know that sounds very simple to you guys, but hospitals in Guatemala do not work like they work here. If you go to the hospital and you need blood work, you leave the hospital and go somewhere else to get the blood work. If you go to the hospital and need an x-ray or an MRI, you have to go somewhere else to get it. Nothing's ever in the same building. One doctor's appointment takes me about 6 hours. With the kids, you know, just one a day. So having it all in the same building is going to be wonderful for me. I was telling Sam, once this gets built, I spend $350 to $400 a month on gasoline. We have not been below $2 since I've been there, and we usually stay $1.50 ahead of you. Right now we're at $3.50. When I left, we were at $3.50 a gallon. So having everything here is just going to be wonderful for me. And this is a list of clinic needs. The only reason I put that up there, I know most of you don't have an x-ray machine in your back pocket, but if you know somebody that works in a hospital or hospital administration or drug companies or whatever, whatever we can get donated makes it less money to more money to spend on the actual people. The clinic is going to cost $1,500 a month to run. If you average that out, it's $1.02 per person. Anybody here can go to the doctor for $1.02? I need to see your doctor if you can. I can't even get my brain tumor checked for that over here. You know, so if you know anybody or you have stuff, you know, please contact me. I'm going to tell you what these little things are for. This is optional. If you want my newsletter, want to donate to the ministry, want to pray for me or whatever, just fill it out and hand it to Mike Ward. Him and his wife help me keep all my things straight. And I will send you a newsletter every month if you would like to get that. If you do not fill this out, please give this back. I'm a missionary and I'm a cheapo, and these are expensive, so don't make them into planes. Give them back to me, and I will give them to somebody who does want them. But if you'll just fill those out and give them back. These, I'm not giving you an option. I want you to keep these. I want you to put them in your Bible. And when you open your Bible and you see this pretty picture of this lovely lady, and I told the last service, and I'll tell you, I know it's a pretty picture and it's a lovely lady because I photoshopped the fool out of it. I took a chin off, wiped my teeth, gave me some hair over here in my bald spot. So it's pretty. So it wouldn't scare you when you opened your Bible. Please, please, please put these in your Bibles. And when you run across them, pray for me. Pray for me. I live in a third world country. It is a safe country. If you come down to visit, it's safe. I, however, do have to go into areas that are not so safe. And I have to go pretty often. So pray for my safety. Pray for my health. I mean, I've had 2 brain tumors, which both, right, either it's inoperable, but I haven't had any problems with them. As a matter of fact, this month, my survival rate goes up to 80%. I told you you couldn't kill roaches, so I'm not worried about it. You shouldn't be. But pray for me. Money. You know, we survive on the good graces of others. The clinic is going to survive on good graces of others. The clinic is going to be built on good graces of others. And my child. You know, I drug my 9-year-old child down there. She's now 12, and she loves it, you know, but it's hard living away from home. So if you'll get that, if you see my picture, just pray for those things for us. I do want to close with a couple of preachy items because he gave me the microphone. I love what I do, and I think you can see that on my face. And missions is my passion. I can't believe that. I would have never believed it in a million years. It just is my passion. I love it. I love it. God gave me a job that I absolutely adore. So I can sit up here and ask you to come all day long. But you know what? God's given you a job that you should absolutely adore. I can almost guarantee, I can guarantee you, I was not the first person called to the job that I have. I was just the first person that said yes. There is never a reason anyone in any church should have to stand up and beg for workers, stand up and beg for teachers, stand up and beg for help. The lady that needs the house built, that ought to be done in a week. Because somebody's called to do it, guys. God doesn't put it in front of you if you're not called to do it. You're called to do something. You might not be called to mission work, but you may be called to teach a Sunday school class. You might not be called to be the treasurer. You might be called to take the kids to a water park and be in your bathing suit and let your fat hang out. Who knows? But you're called to something. And I want to encourage you to do what you are called to do, because I can tell you, every time God goes, and every time you say yes, things fall into place. It is easy. And the joy you get is so worth it. I mean, I know I'm a freak. I know I'm a lot to take, and I know I'm goofy. But that ain't nothing but the joy of the Lord. And if you're not goofy, maybe you need to look. Maybe you need to look. But I do. I encourage you, just look for what the Lord has put on your heart. If it's mission, see me. You know, if it's preaching, see him. If it's singing, see him. Who's the children's person? No children's people? And if it's children, see them. If it's choir, see them. You got something. You got something. And the Lord really wants you to use it. And I think I'm done preaching. Can I be done?
364.
Huh? Y'all want to hear me sing? I'll sing for it. Oh, well, one thing. If anybody has any questions, now's the time. The card that I gave you has all my information, the U.S. contact information. Just send it to New Hope Church. It also has my website on there if you want to check that out, and my email address. It's got all the information you can need. And I will tell you, if you sign up for the newsletter every month and you get it, it conveniently has a envelope in it for you to just stuff money in and send off. I don't know who came up with that idea. It wasn't me. I don't need any money. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask Wendy to stand around here in front after service, so some of you came in that door, but it's a little harder to get out. And then some of you came in this door, it's a little easier to get out because it's a little wall. So we just want to ask her to be up here if you come and visit with a few moments. So 364, let's stand together and sing.
I'm going to do y'all a favor and turn my mic off.
I'll say this. The work schedule is not set yet. I'm just going to set that. But she's planning a 12-week bill. And Mike's going to be down there for about 8 weeks. And I'm going to try to move forward. We may have to adjust that schedule a little bit depending on the time. But October, November, and January right now are the plans for that. Anybody wants to go, I'll be there for a week. And it's going to be just, they build there just like we build here. Concrete block, framing, drywall, just like we build here. So it won't be anything out of the way.
Not just like. It'll be great. I'll build it.
364 verses 1 and 4.
So if you want to visit with her, come out of here, she'll be here after the summer. Maybe you want to commit yourself.
Thank you. But if he gives it, it's good. Listen, everything in the will of God is good. Everything outside the will of God is not good. So somebody says, well, God didn't give me what I asked for, but here's what he gave me. You know why he gave you that for what you asked for? Because that's the good thing. That fits the plan and purpose and the will of God for your life. And if he gives you that, you know what? That's the best thing that could happen. So we must ask according to his will. And that's what this asking and seeking and searching is all about. Sometimes to find his will. A second thing that's important is this, and that is, when you and I come to ask God for something, we must ask this in the right way. So does that mean that I can never ask anything for myself? No, it doesn't mean that. You can, for example, you can ask God for most anything without being selfish. If you have the right attitude, it's not that you want it just for yourself and you want to be prideful and you want to boast of it. You may want something for yourself because you need it. Or it may be that you want something that you've looked at and longed for, or maybe you desire, and you have the opportunity, and you just want it because you just want it. There's nothing wrong with wanting it. You say, well, can I ask God for that? Now watch this. This is the key question about everything. Do I have the right to ask God for this particular thing? And there's some things you have no business asking God for. And there's some things that you desire in life that you can ask him. And you know what? That's fine. For example, let's say you're related and you're decorating your house. You just need a furniture here and there and so forth. So you say, well, Lord, I know we'll be closed sometimes, but I'm going to ask you to provide it. Is that being selfish? No, that's not being selfish. Remember who he is. He says, watch this. He says he has, God has stored up goodness for those who love him and those who follow him. God wants to be good to us. He wants to do these things. So we don't have a bad motive just because it's something we want. It's a bad motive when it's a selfish, pleasurable thing that is just for yourself. Then also, for example, you know, I must come to him in faith. We must come to him and say, Lord, since this is your will, you've made it very clear. And there's some things that are very clear in the Bible. In fact, somebody says, well, you know, I would do that, but I don't know God's will. There are some things that are so crystal clear in the will of God. For me, for example, the covet, something that you have, is absolutely not right. For me to steal something you have is not right. For me to want something that belongs to you is covetous, that's not right. I don't have to ask God whether it's his will about a whole lot of things. And what happens is, if you don't pray and read the scriptures, you don't fill your mind with the word of God, you say, well, you know, I just don't know how to pray about that. Get in the word of God and I can get...
Thank you. Yeah, he said he was.